You have reached the confidential voicemail of Lieutenant Matt Coverdale here at the Pensacola Police Department. If this is an emergency, please hang up and dial 911. If not, please leave your name, your number, and a brief message, and I will return your call as soon as possible. Thank you, and have a great day.
So, I know Matt Coverdale. I think he says Coverdale, not Coverdale. That does not sound to me like Matt Coverdale. And so this is a little confusing if you call a number and that's the answering message you get. But let's get Mike Wood in here. He is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the program. That guy doesn't even sound like a redhead, so he can't be Matt Coverdale.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, that does... To someone that doesn't know Lieutenant Coverdale, that sounds pretty legitimate. It sounds real. He just did not know how to pronounce the lieutenant's name correctly. And I also want to add that when that phone call comes in, they've spoofed our number. That it shows the number to the Pensacola Police Department, but it's totally fake.
So what is actually happening? People are getting calls that tell them to call back this number, and the number they get is... Tell me what happens in this scam.
Well, they call back. They're told there's a warrant out for their arrest, and they can call back to that number and get the warrant settled over the phone by paying a fee. And they're asking for that to be done with gift cards. The person will go and purchase the gift cards and then call back and give the number over the phone to this person, and then that person instructs them to go to the Pensacola Police Department to sign some paperwork. Which this one young lady did, and we had to tell her when she arrived that she had been involved in a scam, and she was out thousands of dollars.
Oh, my. So, A, it's hard for me to wrap my brain around the cleverness of some of these scams. I mean, to find an actual PPD officer and to impersonate that person, which is a crime. But then also that people would believe that the way to solve a warrant would be to go buy gift cards and give somebody the numbers over. You know what I mean? It's like it's the perfect storm of ready victim and willing criminal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't just Lieutenant Coverdale. They were also using the name of a retired captain of ours and a local judge. So they're not stopping. Yeah, they're going even further with it. But the clue is, first of all, you know whether you've done something, and there may be a warrant for your arrest. You know that in your heart. That's the first clue that something is wrong. The second one is to pay it over the phone with gift cards. We never ever ask for funds over the phone. That's not how warrants are handled at all. That's something that's done in person. And if you do call the police department legitimately and we tell you that there is a warrant for your arrest, we're going to instruct you to go to the jail and turn yourself in, not to send money over the phone.
But again, if people don't know and they get scared and they, you know, they just don't know any better. I mean, scams happen because people are able to be scammed. I mean, that's why this stuff. My goodness. Wow. So and is this something that are we seeing this around the nation as far as you know, or is this just a local thing that you're hearing about?
Well, it's happened all over the country. We don't know if this particular case is local or not.
Yeah.
We have investigators working on it. So, that's yet to be seen.
Okay. All right. And obviously, you know, finding who's doing this is, a priority. Have you been able to, maybe you can't tell me because it's ongoing, but have you had any success at being able to figure out, you know, who it is, where it's coming from? I mean, there are voices out there, so being able to find them eventually shouldn't be all that hard to match them up with the voice, but...
Yeah, in the past we have found these people and arrested them, but this particular case is still ongoing.
Okay, all right, fair enough. We had a really bad thing happen last weekend. The kind of thing that you and I sometimes talk about, when it's child incidents, it's just different. And we had Anaya Nettles, and I know when you and I had talked about this on the weekend, we were at a certain point, but. Can you maybe tell people what we know at the moment, if we do know what happened to her?
Well, she was killed by gunfire, and we are looking into that. The state attorney is looking into it. There is a possibility that she was shot by another child. There were several children present at the scene. There were adults on the property also, so they are being questioned, and the children have to be questioned and by counselors. And once this is put together, the state attorney's office will look at it and determine if any charges are warranted in this case.
All right. And, I guess there was a man who you, when deputies arrived on the scene, y'all found him in the backyard kind of hiding, and he took off running, and you apprehended him. But, after investigating, do you at this point think he was involved in any way, or do we still not know?
It's still under investigation. No charges have been brought against him. We believe that he may have been scared. We're still looking into that. But as far as firing the weapon, we don't believe that that was the case.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. Oh, by the way, we got a text in here. I just wanted to follow up on, it's on the top of my mind. Somebody says the scams we were talking about a moment ago often involve grandparents claiming that their grandchildren have warrants. Is that something that we have seen in our area as well?
Absolutely. We've seen that before. And that's, you're preying on the elderly. These people, you want to believe that the world is good and people in it are good, and they are prime targets for these individuals. So I've said it until I'm blue in the face, and we're going to continue to say it. If you have a gut feeling that something is wrong, pick up the phone and call us, or come to the Pensacola Police Department, and we will let you know if it's legitimate or not.
And boy, I'll tell you, though, that's the hard part, though, is getting that trigger inside of your brain that says, not sure yet. Because it's when you don't have that trigger, that's when, you go down the wrong path and wind up, getting taken advantage of. You and I have talked about this before, but it's such an important thing. Returning to Anaya Nettles is, when you have officers have to handle something like this, it is incredibly difficult. It is awful for the family. It is awful for the children. It is awful for everybody involved. But law enforcement, it is awful for as well. And sometimes, y'all get exposed to so many things, as we've heard Chief Leiter talk about, that it's very possible to become, post-traumatic as a result of the repeated. It's almost kind of how we learned about brain injuries, that brain injuries don't just happen from the one big impact. They can happen from a lot of low, kind of blows over a long period of time. What do you guys do to, encourage your officers and protect them from that kind of stuff?
Well, Chief Leiter has stepped up, and they're currently working on getting counseling for officers that are involved in these situations. That already happens, but getting counseling for officers every 6 months or so, whether they've been involved in a traumatic incident or not, just to monitor everybody that works down there, because like you said, these officers sometimes handle situations like what happened on Saturday multiple times in one shift, and it can add up.
Unbelievable. Y'all are in the middle of doing accreditation right now. For people who maybe don't understand that process, where are we at, and kind of what does that all entail?
Well, to be accredited, you have to meet certain criteria, and we did that. We got the accreditation, but they come back. They want to make sure that we're maintaining those standards, those rules and regulations, and that's what we're in the middle of now, to maintain the accreditation. So everybody in the department has a job to do, and the accreditation folks are going to come in and make sure that we're doing it, make sure that the policies are in place and the equipment is in place so that we can maintain that accreditation.
One of the things that came up the other day when I was watching this Citizens Police Advisory Committee meeting, and they were just kind of brainstorming, sort of sharing the things that they were concerned about. And one of the things that came up was the idea of how to file a complaint, against an officer. We know officers make mistakes, and, that's part of how you make sure that all the officers are doing what they should be doing. What happens when somebody files a complaint against a Pensacola police officer? How does that get handled?
Well, first, it depends on what the complaint is. A lot of times it can be handled with the immediate supervisor on scene. And if it's something a little more serious, the supervisor determines it's more serious, then it goes up to what most people think of as internal affairs, but it's professional standards is what we call it, and then an investigation is launched. But people come in and want to do that sometimes in the heat of the moment right after an incident has happened, and they have to sign some paperwork and swearing that what they are saying is the truth. But then sometimes the officer's called in, the body camera footage is looked at, and that incident is totally false. And when people do that, they've got to be careful because they can be charged with falsely reporting.
Yeah, and that's one of the benefits you have of some of that recording and, you know, the ability to verify some of that stuff, which I know you've said in the past has actually cut down on the false reports because people realize they can't get away with it. But, of course, you take seriously the ones that are, you know, valid as well because that's, you know, serving the community is key. Hey, I just got a text in from one of your captains actually said that y'all did bring in mental health counselors for the officers and detectives who responded to B Street. So that is, I mean... But you have to. I mean, that's what you have to do, right?
Yeah, that was a situation to where it's been mandated for a long time. So that's been in place. Those policies have been in place. But what is different in the future is getting everybody looked at every 6 months or maybe annually,
right,
to make sure that they're okay. So, it was a tragic event that those officers and investigators responded to that day. And, you know, you can look at the video from the little girl that the officers were able to bring back from the drowning incident. And just imagine seeing that more than once a week, maybe twice a month, something like that, how that can just build up in you.
And even in that case where it's a great outcome in the sense that her life was saved in that other case with the drowning, that's still traumatic. You know, to come that close to deal with that, it can feel like a victory, but your brain doesn't necessarily process that as a victory. It processes that as a terrifying, horrific encounter that happened to end, you know, and so even there you can have adverse consequences. It's the psychology of policing, I think, is very, I mean, it's a challenge that you all deal with all the time. It's why I appreciate what you do, among so many other things, why I appreciate what you do. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, again, I so much appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.